Good morning. Everyone, please stand and join us in How Great is Our God. Song, All the Heavens. Holy, holy,
holy, holy are you, Lord. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Let the nations rise to give honor and praise to your Your face shine on us, and the world will know you live. All the heavens shout your praise. Beautiful is our God. The universe will sing hallelujah to you, our King. Holy, holy are you, Lord. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Let the nations rise to give honor and praise to your name. Let your face shine on us, and the world you live. All the heavens shout your praise. Beautiful is our God. The universe will sing hallelujah to you, our King.
As we gather here today, may we know this King and Lord, and may He be also the love of our lives. May we be reminded of God's love and grace towards us. And it's in our relationship with this loving God that we know what it means to love each other and how to have grace towards each other and to encourage and to care for each other. So, brothers and sisters, today I ask you, as we do every week, but I pray with meaning every week, that we step outside our pews and share this love and grace with each other as God does with us. Being made aware of this King, this God that loves us so, that's so great and so tremendous, we are sometimes confronted with our own frailties and our own need for God. And certainly as we confess and come together here today, we remind ourselves and we are comforted, hopefully, in knowing that God's grace is here for us and God's help is here for us. Let us confess to God together. Let's pray. Oh God, you are great, you are mighty, you are above all, you are so much beyond what we could even imagine, but yet you choose to make yourself personal to us. You choose to make yourself so known and so vivid in the handshakes and the embraces that we just shared now. For that we give you thanks, that you call each one of us special and that you call each one of us your child. And certainly this week, I myself and many of our volunteers have been able to see that and know that even more deeply through our Vacation Bible School program. For that, we thank you. We thank you that you are here with us and your grace abounds towards us to grant us each new day in such a way that we might know your joy and share it with others. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said. Amen. I want to invite the children to come forward. I'm going to ask Doris to start the PowerPoint because I've heard it might take a couple of clicks away. But children especially, if you can't see where you're seated, we've got some pictures and music that's going to run through. And then our children are going to share with all of you one of the songs that they learned this week. Julie and Alexia, you want to look this way so you can see all the pictures up there.
With the colors of the jungle all around us, amazing plants and animals surround us. We're following Jesus on the adventure of our lives, discovering His love for us. God's word will come alive. We're on a sun quest, we're following Jesus. This is our one quest, to go where He leads us. Let's explore the wonders of God's love in the SunQuest Rainforest. SunQuest Rainforest.
Get it, get found.
SunQuest Rainforest.
Get it, get God's love.
SunQuest Rainforest.
Get rain, get going.
SunQuest Rainforest. Mighty waterfall and see the rainbow. Feel
feel the raindrops on your face and smell the cocoa. We're following Jesus on the adventure of our lives, discovering his love for us, God's word come alive. We're on a sun quest, we're following Jesus. This is our one quest, to go where he leads us. Let's explore the wonders of God's love in the sun quest rainforest. Sun quest rainforest.
And we want to give a special thank you. I won't make them come up, but Karen Reinhardt and Amy Wengren were our co-directors for this week. You just want to stand up where you are so people can see you. They did a terrific job, and hopefully you saw from the pictures, we had a lot of children and had a fantastic week, and we hope to have even more next year. So if we have more volunteers, we'll make that happen. So thank you, North Branch children. You may head off to church school.
Everyone, please stand and join us for How Great Thou Art.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and hear the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Oh, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Oh, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love
at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb.
Thank you. Now, I don't know if we can have the back monitor on or not. If it's not working, don't worry about it. But if it is, then I can see my sermon slides. You don't have to look over my neck. Anyone know how to turn that baby on? If you don't, just leave it. Few announcements. We figured out what it takes to be Vacation Bible School director in this church. 4 kids. A lot of kids. 4 kids each director. Wow. That'll fill your Vacation Bible School all up by itself, right? Couple other announcements. Coffee hour, because of the rain, will be back in the fellowship hall. So go back there. Actually, it's lemonade, not on the lawn, but in the coffee hour. And my son Zach is doing his Eagle Scout project, and we're working on the Hope House garden. I didn't do much. They took out a bunch of planks that were used for the flower beds. If anyone likes old wood for any reason, see me, send me an email, because we're going to get rid of it by the end of the week. It's all in the Hope House barn. So if you like to look at old planks or you need some, I know some people have already claimed a couple. But before we get rid of it, let me know if you want some. And then if you'll turn with me to page 5, excuse me. Other announcement is you see our list of job seekers. Please continue to pray for them. Please send any jobs from your company that may relate, or you don't know if they'll relate, to the office, and we'll forward them out to these seekers because we want to help each other in these tough times. And then if you turn over with me on to page 6, and I got my bulletin all turned around, so where's page 6? Here it is. No, that's not. No, that's not. Must be in here. Nope, nope. 2, 3, 4, 5. Why is this so hard? 6. I found it. Under NBRC Preschool, notice you saw the sign out front when you pulled in, maybe, but they're doing a craft night. Please read that over, see if you can help. The preschool has been revitalized, which is part of the reason why we're back up to our large numbers in Vacation Bible School, and we're grateful for that. And pray for the preschool, that God may continue to touch children's lives and families' lives through that. And lastly, on page 7 at the top, pay attention to all the announcements, but notice that we need some church school teachers for 2010-2011. There's maybe no greater ministry than bringing the next generation up in the faith. So would you pray about taking advantage of that? I'm going to read the scripture because there's only 2 short verses in the sermon itself, so there won't be a formal scripture reading beforehand. But let's then prepare our hearts as I set the stage for the scripture in the sermon. Pray with me, please. Jesus, on this dark day where the earth is so parched that we pray for rain, we pray also that as you water, we pray in some abundance our brown grass and our dry gardens and our aquifers and all of that, that you will also send the rain of your mercy, of your blessings, spiritual rain into the parched places of our hearts and souls, so that we too might be revived and renewed, and we might live this day and this week fully alive and in praise of your name. It's to that end that we pray, to that end we read scripture, and we proclaim for the glory of your name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you've been away on vacation, or if you're a visitor, someone from the Vacation Bible School this week, I'm finishing up a series on learnings that I had during my sabbatical, and I spent, if you don't know, I spent 11 weeks this summer. The church was gracious to give me a week for every year I've been here. And I spent it as a chaplain at Robert Wood Johnson. And this is probably the most germane lesson to healthcare that I learned. The others were more about me and how you and I need to relate to God. But this is summarized in the word "ant," and I'll get there in a moment. Probably 30 to 40%, to set the stage, probably 30 to 40% of the emergency calls that I received when I was doing my 24-hour on-call shifts were to help people prepare to die. Now, I don't know what you believe about that, but I remember when I lost my first friend at age 10, Ken. We would line up for the bus for kindergarten through high school in Ken's driveway. He was four houses down across the street. And Ken was painting his bedroom in the day before we eliminated lead-based paints in the winter with the window closed. And he painted it on Saturday. Monday didn't feel well, didn't go to school. By Wednesday he was delirious, and by Friday we learned hardly even no concern about him. We hadn't heard any updates, so we just thought he was, you know, pretty sick. By Friday he died. Remember going to his funeral. It was the first Catholic Mass I ever attended, and I followed my Catholic friends up who were doing funny things that I didn't know what to do, so I just did my best. I'm sorry, funny things to me, not to those that worship in that way, meaningful things to other people. But I didn't know what I was doing, so I was following them up, and then we received the host, and I just remember just feeling, scared. And from about that time in life, at about 10 or 11, till I was about 16, I was on and off dealing with this fear of death. And I found myself, I learned in that time, that you can't really prepare to live fully until you're prepared to die. And so I want to talk to you about "and." We'll get to that in a moment, but I want to talk to you about facing our own mortality, for we all need to do that, right? And indeed, if you think with me about it, maybe it helps that the weather is dark outside. But if you think with me about it, our whole culture is afraid of even saying the word death. Maybe you can add to my list all of the euphemisms, the roundabout ways we say death, like kicking the bucket, or passing away, or giving up the ghost, or meeting our maker, or what are some other euphemisms that come to mind? Can you think of any?
Buying the farm.
What did you say about the farm?
Buying the farm.
Oh my goodness, that is a great euphemism. Checking out. There you go. Checking out. Yep.
Bite the dust.
There you go. It's almost a competition. My supervisor in the chaplaincy program, John DeVelder, would say to us, just say the word. It's death. 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 If you chaplains are afraid of saying it, no wonder everyone is afraid of saying it, he would tell us. Okay, all right, all right. So not only are we afraid of saying the word, not only do we avoid it in speech, we avoid it in behavior. I mean, let's be honest. Why do we color our hair or take Viagra or do other things? I mean, it's to help us feel young, right? And why do we want to feel young? Because it maybe postpones us thinking about. In our house, there's this debate about whether or not I should color the gray reaper here. And we're divided. One is in favor. I'm not so excited about it because it helps me face every morning. I have to see, you're no longer young. You're middle-aged, buddy, right? Or not even that. You know, when I was in the hospital, I realized how paranoid healthcare workers are about their mortality or our mortality. Because their default behavior is quickly to put someone on a respirator before we even ask the question sometimes. Or I remember one scenario where a medical team literally did 1 hour of CPR, 1 hour taking shifts in order to try to do whatever they could to bring back. And you'd think that would be good, but is it not excessive? And what does it do to the body? And then lastly, We avoid it because so few of us have filled out advanced directives, which will provide, which allows us to either name a healthcare proxy in the event that we can't make a decision and or do a living will. We'll come back to this. That's why I'm commending to you the idea of and. And this fear of death, it costs us tremendously in dollars and in spirit. Think with me about dollars. I don't know how many of you saw the 60 Minutes special a couple weeks ago about the end-of-life healthcare stuff. Maybe you're not a big 60 Minutes fan. We love it at our house. And they were talking about $55 billion spent in the last 2 months of life. And let me get my statistics right here. 20 to 30% of which they said they thought was wasted. And 30% of hospital stays are unnecessary because the system rewards admittance and procedures. And not only does the fear of death cost billions to our economy in dollars, it costs in spirit, because it costs in spirit first. How many times haven't I walked into a hospital room where somebody is restlessly tossing and turning, and I'll say something like, "John, what's going on? You seem restless." And John might say, "Oh, you didn't hear what the doctor told me?" And I'll say, "No, what did the doctor say?" And he'll say something like, "Well, they're calling in hospice." And I said, "Oh," I'll say something like, "Oh, are you afraid?" And he'll say, "Yeah." You know, if I had a dollar for every time that happens in a 600-bed institution like Robert Wood Johnson, just in the time that I was there, I could probably pay a large portion of my kids' college costs in cash. Right? So we have this tremendous fear that costs us in dollars and in spirit. And so we turn to the only medicine on planet Earth that can help us relate to this fear, and that is a trust in God. And here's where the biblical story of Job is helpful. Let me wet my whistle again. For some reason, I'm feeling dry in the mouth, and I don't want the sermon to be any more drier than it has to be. So, Job, if you remember the story of Job, right, the great, great story of why do people suffer in the Bible. And it begins by saying that Job was rich in family and friends. The scripture tells us that he had 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he was the Bill Gates of his day, right? And while his family was living the high life, it was a good thing that Job won. Tells us that Job felt humbled and grateful for his many blessings, because if you remember the story, you know that in an instant, that was all taken away from him. That suddenly he lost family and fortune, and he was left with nothing. And so it doesn't surprise us that his wife, in understandable rage of grief, said to him, "Curse God and die." But Job had a different reaction. Job, maybe it was shock. Maybe it was a profound spirituality. That's what I like to believe it was. But this is Job's reaction. Would you read it with me? It says, Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Wow. Such power, such faith, right? Job was prepared to live because he was prepared to die. Job could live confidently because of that. Matter of fact, this has inspired one commentator to write, "A man may stand before God stripped of everything that life has given him and still lack nothing." That's power. And not only does trust in God help us for this life, it helps us for the life to come. So the Spirit inspired Paul to write the other scripture verse that I want to look at, this poetry of heaven that says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. I'm brought back to the story of a lifelong member here, Eva Jane Mosco's passing. I think I shared it with you the Sunday after. It was in January, and I was invited, as I sometimes am, into the last moments of life, and there she laid in her bedroom on a single bed, unconscious, gasping for breath, struggling with breath. Gasping is too strong. And Eva Jane had been a lifelong member here, grew up across the street, 80 years almost in this church, a pillar of the preschool, pillar church secretary, I think maybe even the first church secretary, a pillar of the church. And as I walked in there, there was her husband Milt scrunched into that single bed with her, looking uncomfortable, with his arm around her shoulder, one leg on the bed, one leg off, married for 60 years almost, the two of them. And what was Milt doing? Milt was talking to her about heaven. And Milt said things to her like, Eva Jane, soon you'll hear the angels sing. And honey, there'll be no more pain. And dear, you know, it won't be long and I'll be up there with you. And you know who's going to meet you, Eva Jane? It's Jesus. And he'll give you this hug. And I was in awe. There was nothing more that I could say but to pray. You know what? If you're around when it's my turn to go, send me that way, please. For that's the power of trusting in God. It helps us face our mortality for this life and for the life to come. So I invite you to do one thing, and really easy to remember. And stands for allow natural death. We don't have to fear. We don't have to prolong. We don't have to spend $55 billion, 30% of which is wasted in the last 2 months of life. We don't have to do that. Because we trust in the God who is with us today, with us in that day, and will be with us in all our tomorrows. Allow natural death. And so there's about 30 or so of these either healthcare proxy or living wills you can pick up to look at, and if they're all taken, they're on the ledge, they're on the back table, they're on the table in the narthex. If they're all taken, just email us in the office. We'll make copies of this one. But read through it. Look at it. It allows you to allow natural death because you know what? We have very little to fear. And we have much to hope for because God, we can trust God who helps us deal with the greatest fear of life. So let me end with a story. This story was told at my grandma's funeral in 1992, and I've done it once here in Easter about 2002, 2003, but haven't done it for a while, so you've forgotten it, those of you that were here. I'm confident. Twin boys were conceived in the same womb. And as they grew and developed, they began to notice that they were alive. And they began to say, wow, isn't it great to be alive? Isn't life wonderful? And they grew a little more, and they could begin to explore their world in the womb, and they found the life cord. And they began to sing for joy, how great is our mother's love that she shares her life with us. And as the weeks turned into months and they developed more and more, they saw that they were changing profoundly. And they began to say, what does this mean? And the one said, well, it means we can't stay here forever. And the other one said, no, I don't want to go. And this one says, well, you know, but we have no choice. But maybe, just maybe, there's life after birth. No. There can't be life after birth, said the other. I mean, we'll shed our mother's life cord, and we know that life is impossible without it. Besides, there's evidence that others were here before us, and none of them have come back to tell us that there's... I'm sorry? What did I do there? That wasn't me? Keep going? Yeah, all right. Whatever I did. There's evidence that others have been here before us, and none of them have come back to tell us that there's life after birth. No, there can't be. And they went back and forth and debated this, and the one said, if life ends in conception, then life in the womb is meaningless. Oh, it's not meaningless? There's a mother, after all. How do we know there's a mother? Maybe we just invented the idea of a mother to make us feel happy. And so the last weeks in the womb were filled with deep questioning and fear. But finally, the moment of birth arrived. And when the twins opened their eyes in their new world, what they saw surpassed their fondest dreams. For as the scripture said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That's the faith that you and I live in, and that's why we can do and. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that you came into this world. We're thankful you've given us so much things, but more than that, spirit with which we can live our life. And Jesus, we drink deeply of that spirit right now to slake the thirst of our deepest fear and to pour into us the confidence that we can live trusting in you today and for all our tomorrows. And so here we are, Lord Jesus. We believe you. We thank you, and we will live for you this week. In your name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. Would you stand and share with me the words printed in your bulletin, the confession of faith, taken from Heidelberg Catechism question and answer number 58. I'll read the question if you'll read the answer. This is that Reformed Catechism of almost 450 years ago. How does the belief in life everlasting comfort you? Let's say, even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so after this life I will have perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has ever imagined. A blessedness in which to praise God eternally. Praise God now with your lives and with your offering as you give to God your tithes and offerings. You may be seated.
I will come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. I am hope for all who are hopeless. I am eyes for all who long to see. In the shadows of the night, I will be your light. Come and rest in me. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. I am strength for all the despairing. healing for the ones who dwell in shame. All the blind will see, the lame will all run free, and all will know my name. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. I am the word that leads all to freedom. I am the peace the world cannot give. I will call your name, embracing all your pain. Stand up and walk and live. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures.
We give these monetary offerings with the Vacation Bible School offerings of books, of souls for souls, and I bet I could have brought out about another third more than the kids brought in here. So we'll give God not only our tithes and offerings, but these generous gifts overflowing. The whole corner over there was filled with them this week at Vacation Bible School. Pray with me. Thank you, Jesus, that you have blessed us so much that we can give to you, both children of shoes and of books and all of that. And Lord Jesus, we adults who are able to work, blessed with a job, are able to give of our tithes, our 10%, our offering. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you let us participate with you in this great mission of casting out fear and filling with faith. So we give ourselves to you in this week. In your name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. And join me then also in the prayers. Add your own thanksgivings either quietly in your heart or out loud when I give opportunity, and then your own concerns. Let's continue in a spirit of prayer. Lord God, as we're thankful for the many gifts and the generosity of this congregation and of the Vacation Bible School kids, we remember that our generosity is the second smaller step to your first greater step of generosity toward us. That you not only formed the world, but you didn't just wind it up like a clock and let it tick out on its own. You have been intimately involved in this world, maintaining and helping, whether it be the oil spill and some bacteria eating up oil, or whether it be, Lord God, in our own lives, bringing us here safely, helping us with the sickness and the unemployment and the struggles that we have, oh God, we're thankful for that. You know, and especially in Jesus, for letting him come into our world, not just to be an example, but to be our sacrifice for our sin, so that we can know in his forgiveness that there is eternal embrace. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for that. And we lift up these other thanksgivings that the people have written or that are spoken either quietly or out loud. We're thankful for Dave and Shorty that they have fun and do well during their first year at Eastern. And good luck on Anna, who will hopefully keep them in line. I think that's both a thanksgiving and a prayer request, I think. We're thankful for son Ian that he is finding his way. We're thankful for a full-time nursing job. And we're thankful, oh God, for rain. And so we lift up other concerns to you, our thanksgivings to you. Hear us, Jesus, as we thank you for for good Christian friends.
For freedom of
speech. For freedom of speech. For all of us being here today. And for all who were here all week. And then, Jesus, we bring before you not only our thanksgivings, but our concerns, our burdens, those things that hurt us or others or this world that we know you care about. So those written, we remember to pray for college students as they may go to college and all the drama. Pray for that. We pray for Ardell Sanders at home, but facing treatment for a tumor near her brain stem. We pray for all of our kids who are heading to college this week. Keep them safe and keep their heads straight. There's a theme in this college, back to college prayer thing. Good theme. For Peter's GI test this coming Friday. And now, Jesus, we lift up to you either those concerns that we speak privately, quietly to you, or we speak out loud. Lord Jesus, hear us as we ask you for
the safety of our servicemen and women throughout the world.
For the safety of our servicemen and women throughout the world.
For our friend Alan
in the service who lost one of his best friends. I'll say again, Lord Jesus, I know, I'm sure there are picnics planned and people who don't want rain, but I pray in general that there may be rain. Thankful for the little that's fallen. And we combine all of these prayers with that great prayer that you taught us, that people say all around the world, and most importantly, that you pray with us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, I guess being 5 minutes early eliminates the 5 minutes late I was last week. If you weren't here last week, you're blessed, right? 10 minutes blessed. Take the hand of the person next to you, please. For we are blessed together, knowing that whoever you are and wherever you go in God's wide world, remember this, that Jesus goes with you. Before you to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times to carry you, and most importantly within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people say, amen.